In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, today we are celebrating our feast of the Church, which is in the blessed memory of, to us, a saint, martyr, new martyr, Tsarevich Alexei, and all the royal family, Tsar Nicholas II and Alexandra, the Tsaritsa, and the children, Olga, Tatiana, Maria, Anastasia. We're celebrating also the Knigini Elizaveta, the Princess Elizabeth, and her, the nun which was with her, and all the ones that were thrown down into the well to be perished, including the princes and the lay people, my beloved. And today is our holiday of the Church, and we are blessed to have a few people coming to pray with us. Of course, as we can see, the time is getting worse and worse, and it seems that less people are interested or are willing to sacrifice to be able to come for a holiday when it's not on Sunday, but when it's on the working day, what they consider. And it is sorrowful that we have to experience that. But to my great joy, we had a wonderful service as usual, and there was a spiritual uplifting, and we were able to say all this service as it had to be last night with the beautiful canons that were said to Mother of God and, of course, to the royal family. And today we had heard the epistle. The epistle was telling the people, it was the apostle, he was telling about love, how nothing at all can take him away from the love. It's no sorrows, no sickness, it's no bad things, and no fire, no water, nothing at all can take away, nor life nor death, nothing can take us away from the love of Christ. Well, that's how the apostle felt, and this is the way how a royal family felt. Nothing can take away them from the love of Christ and for the love of their neighbor, which was their country. They were offered to leave the country to be saved from the final execution, but they refused to do it. They didn't want to do it. They wanted to suffer for Christ, for they truly did suffer for Christ. The Emperor Nicholas II had been foretold that this is what he is going to have to go through. When he was coronated at that time, he had a letter that was given to him from Saint Seraphim Sarovsky, who had foretold him that was going to happen, that he's going to be martyred, and what's going to happen to the people. And knowing that, he had spent all his money that was coming in as his personal money, for him. He was spending all of that to build churches all around the world. Not only in Russia, he had built many, many churches in Russia and many, many outside of Russia, for he knew that there will be immigrants from Russia in after 17. And there were several millions of people of Russian had left the country, and so that they will not be without a church. Emperor Nicholas II had built with his own money, he had built the churches for them. Every country that you go, you can find a church that has been built by the Saint Nicholas, the Emperor of Russia, because he knew that there would be the Russian souls there and they would want to have the Orthodox Church. My beloved, this is the kind of love that he had. He truly was a father to the people. He was a father to his people, and the father that wanted his people to make it to the kingdom of heaven, because he remembered the teachings, and he accepted the teaching totally, the teaching of what the Lord is saying to us. Look for the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and first, and everything else will be given to you. And this is what he made sure, that to him was the most important, the salvation of his people, not the growth and the prosperity of the country in the worldly sense, in the sense of today. But he wanted to bring his people to the Lord more and more, so that they would be going after the kingdom of heaven, and so that they would be able to inherit that kingdom of heaven. That's why he spent all the time and all his efforts, and mostly in trying to raise the spirituality of the people. He personally was pushing the church to bring to the glorification of Saint Serafim Sarovsky, of Saint Yasab Bilgarovsky, and others that he had personally was pushing the synod to glorify these saints, and he was personally involved in it. And my beloved, he was truly a father that loved his children, and since he loved God first, that he wanted his children to also to be making it into the kingdom of heaven. He was fighting the evil spirits all the time with his family. And Tsarevich Alexei, the one that we named our church for, Tsarevich Alexei, from the beginning, as you know, he had a sickness that was incurable, and the sickness caused him lots of suffering and lots of pain. But when he was hit by the suffering and the pain, what did he do? He didn't become sad or whining and wailing that why does he have the sickness. All he did is he would be joyfully looking at his mother and then saying, "Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy." And if I grow up to be a czar, all I want is the main thing, to make my people happy. And of course he knew that the happiness comes from the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, because he learned to love Jesus Christ because his mother, even though she has converted from the Lutheranism and she become true Orthodox, and she had taught him, and as she had taught all her children, to love Christ above everything else, and to dedicate their life to the Mother of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Mother of God and all the saints, and to look for the kingdom of heaven first. And when, my beloved, when they had to go through all kinds of sorrows, when the emperor was forced to abdicate because they fooled him and they lied to him, they said every old people want that for him, for the salvation of the Russia, then for the salvation of Russia he abdicated. And even though that abdication was really forced on him, but he did it because of love for the people. He gave it a chance that maybe those people that are his generals and all those who are surrounding him, maybe they know better what's for the people. And for the sake of the people, he advocated. He had left being the Tsar, and knowing that his son could not be probably surviving too long because of his sickness, he abdicated for him also. But he did it in a sense, not in an official way, but he even signed his declaration of abdication with a pencil, which is never done for any official things. But of course, that's all his enemy wanted. His enemy wanted to take him away from Russia, because he was trying to revive the people of Russia, to bring them back to Christ, to bring them back to the Orthodoxy. And my beloved, and of course, the enemy was fighting so hard, and he was fighting the saints, the royal family were fighting the enemy, and had won absolutely the warfare against the enemy. They were able to show an example for the Russian people, for millions of them went to be martyred for the sake of the Lord. Millions of them had followed an example of the Tsar and his family, that they have given everything up, but they would not give up the love for the Lord and the love for eternal life. And this is what he taught the people, and they have went after the 1917 and after the revolution of the communists took over. They started to destroy churches after churches, and priests after priests, bishops after bishops, and literally there was thousands of priests that were destroyed, and there were millions of people that were martyred for the sake of the love of Christ, because they would not give up the Christ. And the government, the social, the what they call SSSR, they wanted to eliminate all the faith in the Lord of every people, and they have made a mockery of the church icons and churches. And you still go around Russia and you can see a terrible devastation. You can see the churches that are overgrown with trees on top of the roof, without cupolas, without roofs, and without things, just shambles left over from how the communists took care of it. My beloved, now there is a little change. Is that you can see that your churches are being rebuilt. They're being rebuilt at the request of many people. Many people starting to wake up. They're starting to cry out to the Lord. And many of the churches, including this church, is crying out to the Lord that the Lord will forgive us our sins and what we have done to our emperor and the family, and that he would restore the monarchy again for us. The monarchy that is going to look for, first of all, as the main beneficency or the benefactory for us would be the salvation, not the worldly goods and the worldly things that the world is, everybody is after. Everybody is after to try to make it, how to live easier and better, how to work and sweat less, and how to be able to enjoy the life more. But this is not Orthodox way. The Orthodox way was always to try to pick up the cross what the Lord gives us, not to choose your own, but to accept what the Lord gives us. Is it a sickness? We accept it. Is it poverty? We accept it. Is it famine of all kinds of whatever it is? We accept it. We accept it in gratitude to our Lord, because we believe and we know that the Lord actually is doing whatever he allows to happen. It is for our own benefit. And that's why the Orthodox Christians were able to really give their life up to the Lord and enjoying now the greatest joy in the kingdom of heaven. My beloved, and so just think about it. Just think about it, that you and me, if we just try to humble ourselves a little bit and try to fulfill God's laws, to love our neighbors, to love our friends, but also to love our enemies, if we can really accomplish that, then what joy and peace you'll find in your heart. If you can humble yourself when somebody screams and shouts at you and gets mad at you and then treats you very badly or beats you, whatever it does, even if somebody is willing to crucify you, remember what the Lord did. He didn't get angry at them. He didn't go against the cross that the Father had sent him. All he did is he asked the Father in heaven to please forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And this is what we have to learn, my beloved. It's hard for you. It's hard for you, for with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, whoever it may be, with your neighbors, with your country, with the governments, whatever it is, accept the cross, whatever the Lord has sent it, in humility, and know and believe that the Lord allows those things to happen only for your spiritual growth, and start growing. Let's start growing, accepting the cross, as the royal family had accepted the cross of being thrown out from the being head of the country, and then finally being put away into Siberia and being mistreated for a long time, and finally ordered to be going into the basement and shot, every one of them shot to death. And my beloved, they did all that knowing that they are serving the Lord. And let's, you and me, try to really to serve the Lord in the little ways. He is not asking us to be taken into basements to be shot. Maybe not yet. Maybe someday it'll happen. But at this point, it's not happening. At this point, we have others once. We may have a husband shouting at us, or a wife is shouting at us, or our children are shouting at us, or whatever it is, and maligning our neighbors are saying bad things about us and making us, trying to make us to feel bad. But we don't feel bad about that. We pray for them as the Lord had ordered us to do, to follow his example, because that's what he did on the cross. He asked forgiveness of his Father for all the things that they have done to the Lord, including the crucifixion. And once you and me can understand that spirit, you and me will start to find peace in our hearts, and we'll be able to really rejoice in the fact that our Lord loves us so much that he died for us, and he showed example for all the saints to follow, including the royal family, and they followed and in his footsteps and had given their life for the sake of their people. Amen.